your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? He gives us examples of anger, of reconciliation, of adultery, of divorce, and marriage, of relationships outside of marriage. And then we come down to verse 33 through 37. In the next illustration he's going to give us is that of truthfulness. Truthfulness. Isn't it funny how many people consider themselves righteous who aren't truthful? They talk about being righteous, but they're not honest. Excuse me. I got a lump in my throat that just won't go away. Follow with me as we begin reading verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let's pray. Father, I pray as we look at your word tonight, your truth might do something in our hearts that would cause us to be honest always. Father, help us to be a people whose word is true, always. Help us to be a people whose word does not need to be doubted because they know we speak the truth. I pray, Lord, that as we look at your word tonight, it might affect our lives. Not just our words, but our lives, and that we might be truthful in every way. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world that doesn't bat an eye at lying. I mean, you know, you go to work, they don't think anything of lying. You go out in the community, doesn't think anything of lying. Lies are no big deal. In fact, we call some lies little white lies, and we call them little white lies so that we can say that every lie that we state is a little white lie. Of course, people wonder why no one trusts anyone anymore. But it's not a new phenomenon. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? When Satan lied to Eve, told her she'd be like God if she ate of the fruit. This is the next illustration that Jesus gives of being righteous. And it compares with the outward, dead, hypocritical righteousness which proceeded from the heart of the religious leaders of the day. And isn't that sad? It was the religious leaders of the day who, out of envy, turned Jesus over to be killed. This passage deals with oath-taking. Oath-taking is not necessarily kind of when you stand up and take an oath to do something. It is kind of when you make an oath to make your lie sound more believable. For example, people will say something like, if you don't believe me, I'll put my hand on the Bible. I swear to God I'm telling you the truth. And they will say all kinds of things like that to get you to believe their lie and try to make their lie look real. And sadly, lots of people do it. So let's consider the practice tonight. Let's look at what Jesus is talking about here so that we'll understand what he says that is different. Look at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said of those of old. Again, he's not referring to the Old Testament. He's referring to the religious leaders' traditions and interpretations of the Old Testament that often went against the Old Testament truth. It said, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, an oath was considered absolute truth because it invited judgment on the person given it. If he violated his word when he swore by something greater than himself, it meant that that greater than himself would judge him, would punish him for the lie. A book called Concise Theology says, oaths are solemn declarations that invoke God as a witness of one's statements and promises, inviting him to punish should one be lying. In Jesus' day, oaths were common. They were everyday practice. Nobody took them seriously. In fact, in Jesus' day, if you made an oath, it was like, why even bother? No one believed them anyway. People would make up all kinds of excuses for lying. And when I was a young child or growing up on my block, all you had to do was cross your fingers, stick them behind your back, and anything you said didn't really matter because your fingers were crossed. Anyone do that in their neighborhood growing up? Yeah, some of you, all right. Pharisees were notorious for oath giving. What people believed is that as long as when you swore, as long as when you gave your oath, you did not invoke the name of God, you didn't have to keep your oath. Look at here, verse 33 again. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but perform to the Lord what you have sworn. So if God's name is involved, make sure you do it. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is God, the city of the great king. So if you gave an oath, but it didn't invoke God's name, maybe it invoked earth, or maybe invoked Jerusalem, or maybe invoked something else. You didn't have to keep it. You could be lying and know you're lying from the very first word out of your mouth, but you're giving an oath and make it sound like it's the truth. Well, no big deal, as long as God's not involved. For example, Leviticus 19:12, which says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord, was conveniently interpreted to mean swearing falsely by any other name than God was allowed. I take an oath in the name of my wife, Connie, that what I'm about to tell you is the truth. Then I can lie, because that didn't involve God. Would you beat me up if I lied involving your name? No, your fingers are crossed. She said no with her fingers crossed. You know, as long as you didn't involve God, you're okay. Unless your wife has her fingers crossed. You can appeal to heaven, to earth, to Jerusalem. It was less binding than involving God. Even today, people kind of twist scriptures doing the very same thing. In fact, let me give you an example of this. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 26. Sometimes it's easier to see what we're talking about if we have a picture of it. Matthew chapter 26. Verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. Verse 70. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. Verse 71. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath. "I do not know the man." Now, we don't know what the oath was that he used, but he used an oath. And he made it as a covering for his lie that he did not know Jesus. Of course, you know, down in verse 75, the rooster crows, he goes outside, and he weeps bitterly. You know, why is it that we know what we're about to do is wrong, but we want to do it so badly that we're willing to kind of color what we're about to say and even invite beatings on ourselves to try to prove to the person that we know we're lying to that we're telling the truth? Why is it we do that? Other than the fact that this heart is sinful and desperately wicked. Jesus says, don't do that. Let's learn about it. Go back to Matthew 5, number 2. Grasp Jesus' teachings. Grasp Jesus' teaching concerning this issue. And what I want to do tonight is I want to give you three principles from what Jesus says here. Principle number one, all things are related to God. Now remember, they said that if I don't take this oath in God's name or somehow invoke God, then I'm okay. If I lie, I'm not going to be judged or no judgment will fall on me. But what Jesus says, look, everything in the universe is related to God. So if you invoke anything in the universe in your oath, you are invoking God. Look at verse 34 and 5. "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven," why? It's God's throne. "Or by the earth," why? It's God's footstool. "Or by Jerusalem," why? It's the city of the great king. See, anything and everything in this universe ultimately is related to God, so if you invoke an oath, you are invoking the name of God. John Walvoord said, "If they wanted to be relieved of oaths, they made them by heaven or by the earth or by Jerusalem, by one's own head. They could argue that since God himself had not been involved in their oaths, they were not binding. So to swear by those things Jesus is saying is invoking the name of God. So principle number one, all things are related to God. Principle number two, human beings do not have the power to swear. Human beings do not have the power to swear. Here's the idea. You would swear by something greater than you. Look at verse 36. "And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." If you're not going to invoke heaven, if you're not going to invoke the earth, if you're not going to invoke Jerusalem, and you're just going to bring it down to yourself and say, "Well, I swear by my own head," what power do you have to be swearing by yourself? Human beings don't have any power. They don't have any power to do anything about their head. Can't make a hair black unless you get Grecian formula or, you know, one of those things down at the store. We can't add hair to our head. I know many men who wish they could. There are even some who'd like to make their hair white. Remember a while back, we were digging in God's Word and learned in the book of Proverbs about white hair kind of being a thing of honor. So one lady quit using dye, and all of a sudden, within a month, her hair was all white, and she was excited about that. We can't do anything to change these things. We don't have any power to kind of go in and do something with our head. Swearing was invoking a great power, a great authority, and swearing by ourselves, we don't have the power or authority to do anything. Principle number three. Be truthful. And that is the gist of everything that Jesus says here. And that's what I want to spend most of our time on tonight. Look at verse 37. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Some versions say it comes from the evil one. Anything more than just being honest and telling the truth and just leaving it at that is not righteous. It's evil. Why bother with meaningless swearing? Why bother invoking things? And for the most part, when you begin doing all these swearing kind of things, people know you're not telling the truth. My son's been a state cop for 5 months now. Well, actually out on the field for 5 months. He's been a state cop over a year now. Been out on the field for 5 months, and he can always see people, already see people's lies and what they do. And he laughs about it because he says, Dad, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's almost like they stood in the mirror and watched each other and they lie the exact same way. And I said, yeah, Tom, I know. I see it too. People come to me and they tell me things and it's like, I didn't hear that one before. Been a pastor 30 years. No, that's a new one to me. Wouldn't it be great if people just told the truth? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you could just go to work and people told the truth? Or if you could go to work and your boss would never ask you to lie? If you can go out in the community, think about it. If you can go up to the lake and fishermen never lied. Let me tell you a little trick us fishermen have. When we go to the lake to go fishing, we watch everybody coming back in from fishing. And we begin to look at what kind of reels they have and what kind of rods they have and what kind of boats they have and what kind of line they have. Don't say anything. Well, sometimes we ask, but we know they're probably not going to tell us the truth. So, you know, we're watching and doing all these things. And Martin met this guy at the lake one time. And this guy told him, he said, you know what? I know when I'm getting back to shore, everybody's watching everything I have. So I have some poles hidden in my boat. And when I get near shore, I take all the poles I usually fish with, and I hide them. And I take all the poles I don't fish with, and I bring them out. So nobody has any idea what I'm really fishing with. The one day I was up at the lake, and I saw this guy, Martin, and I, and we started talking to him. We found out he lives right over here, right in these houses over here. And we were talking for a little while. And I said, yeah, I'm the pastor of the church right next to you. And we drew up a good conversation. And I said, could you tell me a little bit about what you're fishing with and how you're fishing? And I thought, you know, this guy's going to lie like everybody else does. And he didn't. In fact, last summer he came over, he saw my car here, and he said, I knew you were in, so I want to stop by and find out how your summer fishing was. And I said, you know, I really didn't get out much. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, here's what I'm doing, here's how I'm doing it. Let me go back to the car, and I'll give you some of the lures I'm using. I thought, how neat is that? The guy is telling you the truth and telling what he's, wouldn't it be great if wives, you always knew your husband told the truth? Husbands, you always knew your wife told the truth. If parents, you always knew that when you asked your children what they were doing, they tell you what they were doing and they didn't hide it. That's all that Jesus is saying. When you talk, just be honest. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. You don't have to do anything else. That's what he's talking about here. Be truthful. God hates lying. He hates it dearly. He's a God of truth. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says this: there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Six things God hates, seven that are abomination to him, and two of them that he mentioned are lying. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Jesus said the father of lies is Satan. And if you lie, you're not following God's example, you're following Satan's example. In fact, God takes lying seriously. Takes it very serious. It matters greatly to God. It matters so much to God. Here's what he says about lying. Revelation chapter 21. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. You look at the list: cowardly, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and we stick in there liars. You know, some people would never consider being sexually immoral, never consider getting involved in sorcery, never consider getting involved in murdering somebody, but to lie, well, that's no big deal. An oath that covers up a lie makes it even worse. I remember watching that show, Cops. You know, they would show you the police from all these different cities. And the one cop said, you know, whatever you do, just don't lie to me. If you don't lie to me, you're just honest with me, you know, then we can deal with this situation. But if you lie to me, you're going to jail. That's it. He said, you lie to me, you're going to jail. Just be honest, let's talk about it. Bible gives us examples of people taking oaths that is not wrong. Abraham took oaths. The Apostle Paul took oaths. We saw it even in 2 Corinthians 1. God took oaths. Jesus responded under oath. So taking oath is not wrong. It's only when you use an oath to cover up your lie. We take an oath or a vow when we get married. We take an oath or a vow when we dedicate a baby. When we stand in a court as a witness, we take an oath. None of these things are wrong. It's only wrong when you use it to cover up a lie. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is my favorite passage on the whole subject. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when your dreams increase and your words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. If you make a vow, fulfill it. Pay it. Do it. Complete it. Keep your word. It is better to say nothing than offer up something you have no plan whatsoever in fulfilling. The Bible condemns taking oaths to give credibility to a lie. That's what we see in Matthew 5. The Bible condemns rash oaths. We see that in the book of Judges. The Bible condemns here in Ecclesiastes 5 not keeping your oath or not keeping your word. The Bible condemns when you think nothing of breaking your word. When you think nothing of saying you'll do something and then you don't do it. When you think nothing of saying, you know what, I'll do this, I'll go there, I'll do that, and then something else comes up that you think is more important. You think nothing of breaking your word to somebody and going doing the other thing. If you give your word you're going to do something, you know, the world better fall apart before you don't do that. That's the way we ought to live our lives. Bible says that a righteous man keeps his word even if it hurts, even if it's very difficult to the righteous man. If he gives his word, keeps it. Matthew chapter 12 says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is making a very simple statement here in Matthew chapter 5. He's making a very simple statement of what it means to have righteousness that is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It is a righteousness that simply doesn't lie. A righteousness that has integrity. A righteousness that is truthful. Don't claim to be righteous and then lie. Your righteousness isn't real if you do. That is what Jesus is saying. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, we ask tonight that you would give us the courage and strength to be truthful in all things. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.